Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, it's football season right now, and a lot of you are going to games on Friday nights or watching football on Saturday or on Sunday, and every team has a mascot. Every team has a mascot that they use for their game. And in fact, in Wichita Falls right now, there's a lot of discussion about mascots, and we're not going to get into any of that at all. But what I want you to do is just lean over to the person next to you and just tell them, what was your mascot when you were in high school? Just go ahead and tell them what your mascot was when you were in high school. All right, now what I want you to do is sing your school song to them. No, just kidding. Don't do that. We were the Livingston Lions. I mean, we were proud. We were strong. We were fierce. But there are some towns and some schools in Texas that did not choose naturally fierce animals for their mascot. Now, I'm not making fun of any of these, by the way. I'm just sharing these less than fearsome mascots. The Weatherford Kangaroos. Or the New Braunfels Unicorns. Or the Hamlin Pied Pipers. Or the Brazosport Exporters. Now, see, here's what you do when you kind of have a lame mascot. You put the word fighting in front of it. So they are probably the Brazosport Fighting Exporters. I don't know. If anybody here is from Brazosport, please don't leave. See? Someone who lived close to there knows what I'm talking about. The reason we do that is because we want people to cheer for our mascot. We want people to get roused up for a winner. We want a mascot that is a winner, that exudes strength, that exudes victory. As far as I can tell, in the state of Texas, there is no school that has a lamb for a mascot. Because sheep are among the very meekest of animals, and that little lamb is the most vulnerable of the meek. And yet, as we read in Revelation chapter 5, we're going to see that the one who won the greatest victory, the one who has and will defeat all of his enemies, the mighty one who is worthy and who is able to carry out the mission of God and rescue the whole world, that one is announced as the Lion of Judah. But when he takes the field, he's the Lamb of God, the Lamb who has been slain. Let's read from Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And John says, and I wept. I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. Now God is on his throne. And God is holding a scroll. And as God sits on his throne, he is worshiped 24 hours a day, every day of existence. But God isn't just sitting there. God is at work, and God has a plan, and God has a mission, and it was written on that scroll. It's an architect's blueprints that he has in his hand. It's a general's battle plan. God has a mission, and he is going to see that it is accomplished. And so the call goes out over heaven. Who is worthy to accomplish the mission of God? And the problem is that there's not anyone yet that we're going to see who is worthy. None of us are worthy. None of us are able to accomplish the mission of God, because most of us are part of the problem that God needs to fix. Most of us are causing or participating in the very things that God is going to fix with his plan to overcome evil, to overcome sin, to overcome everything that has marred his creation, everything that is causing injustice and destroying the lives of his people. And so a mighty angel calls out across the universe, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy to break the seals? And John weeps. And then verse 5 of Revelation chapter 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Those are just messianic titles that are used in the Old Testament. God's Redeemer, God's anointed King. And so that elder is telling John, don't cry. Look, the Messiah, he is the one who is able to accomplish the mission of God. He is able to defeat all of our enemies. He is able to conquer sin and death and evil. And so John dries his eyes and he looks in the direction that the elder is pointing, and he is expecting to see a mighty lion, a roaring lion. And instead, verse 6 says, "I saw a lamb." I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. See, John was not expecting to see a lamb, and he was not expecting to see a bloody and mangled lamb. But Jesus is rarely what people expect. See, God is going to accomplish his mission. He's not going to do it through a mighty lion. He's going to do it through a slain lamb. He's not going to do it through an earthly king. He's going to do it through a crucified Messiah. And never again in Revelation is Jesus called a lion. But 28 times in the rest of that book, he will be called a lamb. And the lamb is the most mentioned animal in all of Scripture, and almost every time a lamb is mentioned, that lamb dies. And that really is the central paradox of Christianity, that the mighty lion is a slain lamb. And every person has to come to grips with the fact that to accomplish the mission, Jesus had to die on a cross. The path to power in God's kingdom is through the cross. God's mission took him to the cross. And the lion doesn't act like a lion, but it acts like a lamb. And very honestly, that is still something that is hard for us to grasp, hard for us to accept. It's why the cross, Scripture says, is a stumbling block. Because ultimately, folks don't want a lamb as a mascot. See, believers in that day and believers in this day who long for God to do something, who cry out and say, God, why won't you fix this? Why won't you help this? Why won't you help that person? Why won't you stop that evil? Why won't you stop that injustice? We cry out to God to do something. We're tired of feeling intimidated. We're tired of feeling alienated. And what we want God to do is to send a lion. And we want him to come in strength and to come in power and to change things. We don't want a lamb. No one wears a t-shirt with a lamb on it. No one's playing with a helmet with a lamb on it. No one's cheering, go lambs. But this is so important for us to get. So important to understand what God has done and what he is still doing in the world today. We pray for God looking for a lion, and we're looking for God to show up in strength and power. We are ready for the battle of Armageddon, but God's victory did not take place on the plain of Armageddon. God's victory took place on a cross. And it was a victory. And it did accomplish his mission. And the truth is that his plan for overcoming darkness and sin, his plan for defeating sin and death, was accomplished through Jesus, the Lamb of God, on a cross. Because it's all about the Lamb. And John sees the Lamb, and he's right in the center of God's throne. And he alone in all of the universe is the one who is able to accomplish God's mission in the world. Verse 8, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And those same four living creatures and those same 24 elders who were worshiping God in Revelation chapter 4 are worshiping the Lamb in Revelation chapter 5. And they are holding golden bowls, and those prayers are the prayers of the saints. And the prayers of the saints then and today still cry out, how long, O God? And then later in Revelation, we actually read where that is what those prayers say. How long until you do something? And those prayers in that golden bowl are answered by the Lamb of God. And they also hold harps, and they're about to put those harps to good use. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation, and you made them to be a kingdom and to be priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. What Jesus did as a lamb is so significant that it warranted a new song. And there have never been enough new songs to tell the whole story of Jesus. See, what Jesus did as the Lamb is so significant that it's for the whole world, people from every tribe and every language and every nation. And what Jesus did as the Lamb is so significant that it isn't just saving people. It is doing that, but it is also transforming people. You were not just rescued from sin and darkness and death, but you were transformed to become people of light and people who are on the mission with God, serving. And then verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And they all fell down and they worshiped. I love that scene. And I'm so thankful that God drew back the curtain and allowed us to see what is happening in the throne room of heaven. Because not only are the four living creatures and the 24 elders worshiping, but the heavenly host joins in the chorus, 10,000 times 10,000 more than you can even count. And every creature in heaven, if every creature in heaven isn't enough, every creature that's on earth and under the earth and in the sea all join in the praise. And that isn't just people. That's animals and birds and insects and fish. That's rocks and trees and wind and waves. All of creation is worshiping the Lamb of God. Everything that has been created is praising the Lamb and singing, "Oh, holy Lamb, thou Son of God, most holy Lord, most worthy Lord, standing in the center." Take out your communion cup. We're going to start that song over again. Sing together. And I'm just going to invite you that sometime during that song, as you worship Jesus, knowing that Scripture is true, and that everything in all of creation is also worshiping Him. Sometime during that time of worship, you go ahead and you take the bread and the cup, and you worship the Lamb of God who is slain. Oh, holy Lamb, thou Son. Because you were slain. God has accomplished his mission. And he has done it through Jesus. And as those of us who follow Jesus, as the church in the world, we get to participate in the mission of God. We're not just the recipients of what God has done. We are participants in what God is doing. Amen? And Jesus gave us a mission. Just before he ascended back to the Father, he gave us a mission, and he told us to go into all of the world. That's what he had done. He had come into the world, and he told us, now that I'm going back, I want you to go in to all of the world. And I want you to make disciples. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them to do everything that I commanded. And we as a church take that commission seriously. It is our job. It is our mission as we join in with God to make disciples who are making disciples. And I'm thankful for all that you are doing in our city to join in that mission. But today we celebrate what God is doing and how he is allowing us to be used to be a part of the mission around the world. And I was thinking, and we're going to make financial pledges is the focus of what we're going to do a little bit later. And that's what this day is about, as we have all prayed ahead of time and searched our hearts and decided how we're going to support. But here's what dawned on me this week is that most of the money that you give every single week, most of the money that you give in our regular contribution, and you are so faithful and generous in that giving, most of the giving that you do every year in our mission pledge, almost everything that you give at this church goes to support people. And in some ways I think, well, that's obvious, duh, Ken, but I really want you to think about that, because when you give, what you are doing, most of what you are giving is supporting a person. It's supporting people. And as one of those that you support, I am blessed and I am humbled, and I say thank you for that, because on any given week, it's not unusual for me to hear, if I'm involved with somebody in a Discovery Bible study or in my D group or in a prayer time with somebody or just some kind of pastoral counseling, it is almost always I hear someone say, thank you for giving me your time, like it was a big sacrifice on my part. They say, thank you for giving me your time. And very often they will actually apologize for taking my time. And what I always tell them is that this is what I get to do, and I love doing it. And you are the ones who literally make it possible for me to do that throughout the week. And all of our other staff receive that same blessing from you, and we thank you for that. But as you pledge today and as you give throughout the year toward missions, I know that our missionaries would say thank you to you as well. That Jason and Jen Rollins in Guelph, Canada, thank you that you have allowed them to go and serve, and that you allow Jason the time that now they're going to be leading two different house churches, and that Jen gets to be very intentional in ministry throughout the week to the school where Amelia is and to their neighbors. I know that Jeremy and Jenny on the campus of Midwestern State say thank you that you give them the privilege of serving on that campus and leading Mustangs for Christ. They get to do that full time. They get to spend all day and many nights with students. in conversation, in Bible study, answering questions, building relationships, training, literally training the young men and the young women who are going to be leaders in God's church and continue his mission. I know that Emily Spencer thanks you for supporting her so that full time, day and night, she can be on two different campuses. UT Arlington and Tarrant County College. I know Andy Johnson thanks you that you're a part of supporting him at Mission Resource Network. And we kind of hold Andy up on a pedestal around here, but in all truth, in the world of missions, he's one of the leading thinkers and doers. And he gets to do it because you give every month. Right now, he and Melissa and their family are in Spain leading a retreat for all of the folks who are missionaries in the Mid-Rim. And the newest members of our team, Aniel and Elvis, thank you. This is a couple that we don't know well yet, but what we know about them indicates that we have every right to believe that our support is going to be well spent. They have proven their dedication to disciple-making in their home country. The disciple-making movement that they are part of has planted 14,000 churches in one country. And then when God called that group to go to another country, they fasted and they prayed, and they decided they were called to go to the Mid-Rim, and then they fasted and prayed to see who would go, and God raised up the three very best disciple-making families they had in their entire network. And Aniel and Elvis answered the call and said, "We will go." And they're going to be deployed in the Mid-Rim and make disciples and plant churches among Muslims. The mission that God accomplished on the cross through Jesus is continuing today with us. And with them. And it is a blessing and it is a privilege to partner with God to announce that the kingdom has come, to announce that it is finished in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I love the most about the way God has used our church, it humbles me, it excites me. I don't understand how and why God has done it, but one of the ways that God has used you the most is to raise up from among you men and women who have dedicated their lives to full-time service in the kingdom of God. Most of the people that we have sent and are sending at some point in their life were raised in this church, and you not only pour your money into them now, you've poured your life and your prayers and your love into them through the years. Most of the guys on our staff were raised in this church. Even though I came as an adult, I still realize you did raise me as well. I've lost count of the number of men and women who were raised here, who were under your influence for some period of time that God has called to full-time ministry. And just literally in the last couple of weeks, we discovered another one. And I want to share that story with you because it's an incredible story. A person who points back to her time at 10th and Broad as the time that God planted the seeds of service to the kingdom of God. Earlier this month, Andy Johnson was preaching at the Saturn Road Church of Christ. I think that's in Garland, Texas. And later that day, he received this email, and I want to read it to you. It says, "Andy, I really enjoyed your sermon at Saturn Road, and I was watching from home with my sick daughter, but my husband and I recently moved to Saturn Road as the youth minister. I immediately recognized your name when it was announced because I went to 10th and Broad when I was in 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. When you and Melissa, when you and Melissa left for France to start your missionary journey, I remember the missionary training class that you did with the kids during Kid Zone, and that sparked an interest in missions for me. My parents followed your emails the entire time you were there, and would share those with me. I ended up going to Harding and minoring in healthcare missions and met my now husband during a semester in Zambia. My best friend from high school and college ended up moving to Burkina for a while. And I was probably the only friend who knew anything about Burkina Faso or even where it was. So I just want to thank you for instilling the love and passion of missions in others. Thank you, Brittany Pugh. Some of you are shaking your head. Brittany Pugh now was Brittany Mullins then. Her parents were Craig and Wendy Mullins. Her older brother was Christopher. And Andy and Melissa, I looked it up, it was 20 years ago. The summer of 2001, Andy and Melissa and Greg and many other adult volunteers put on an entire month-long missions seminar, basically, for our kids in Kid Zone. We have a picture of it, I believe. And right there in the middle is Dalton Bond. Wouldn't that just be like him to be right there in the middle? And right to the left of Dalton is a little girl in purple, and that is Brittany Mullins. And God used that time. Literally, she looks back and she says it was then that God put in her heart a love for missions and a desire to be on mission for the kingdom of God. And I praise God not only for those children that He has call in our past. But I praise God because I don't believe He's finished with us. And I wonder who among those little kids who were up here today that God is going to call, that He is going to plant in their heart a love and a passion to share Jesus, the Lamb of God, with the world. I thank God for our elementary students who probably weren't up here, but who God may be calling. I thank God for those among our teenagers who God is going to call. I thank God for those among you in college who God may just call to serve Him full time. But today God is calling all of us. He's calling us to support His mission and to participate in His mission. And we're going to do that in two ways as we conclude our time together this morning. We're going to do that in two ways. One is we're going to make our pledges. And so in just a minute, if you haven't already done so online, you're going to have an opportunity to make your pledge, to put your pledge card in one of the boxes. And then we're going to spend some time in prayer. And it will give you an opportunity to participate, not just to listen to a prayer, but to participate in a prayer. So in a minute, there's going to be a song that is going to be played. And while that song is being played, I want you to get up from your seat, and I want you to go to one of the boxes. There's some boxes on the walls. There's some boxes on tables where you can place your pledge and make your pledge for missions for the next year. And then from there, I want you to go to one of the flags. And I want you to join there. There will be someone there who will help lead, but I want you to join in prayer for that place. And so you get to choose this morning one place that you feel like God is drawing you that you really want to go and cover in prayer. And so when that song begins, you're gonna get to do that. And we have flags. Greg's kind of already given you a tour. And so I'm not going to repeat all that. But we've got flags for places we have been, places we are, and places we are going. And you have names of people to pray for there. And so, after you make your pledge, choose one of the flags, go there. When you're there, we want to encourage everyone who wants to pray out loud. We want to encourage men and women both to join in that prayer. That leader is also going to have a time of just silence. So that for those of you who don't want to pray out loud, but you want to have a moment to pray in your heart, you can pray. And then that leader will most likely close that time in prayer. But you'll follow their instructions. after that time looks like it has begun to be finished, Wendell's going to call us back together with a song, but we're not going to rush that. We're going to give you time to pray. But the Wendell's going to call us back together, and then we will sing and we will pray and we'll be dismissed to eat together. And I hope you're going to stay and enjoy the meal that we're going to share together outside. And so go ahead and stand and let's play that song. Let's make our pledges and let's cover our mission in prayer.
Who else commands all the most of